This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the mat. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Monday afternoon here on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Monday afternoon. There are a million NFL things to talk about coming out of this weekend. One of them being the Titans and Bengals perhaps play the most disgusting game of football we've ever seen.
Oh, yep.
Now, technically, with the Bengals winning, they are still alive.
No, they're not.
In the AFC playoff picture.
No, they're not.
They're not, but technically they are. Technically, Dusty.
No, they're not. They're dead. And they will not make the playoffs. And that's a disgrace because look at, if you just go down and look at their schedule and you look at how many near misses they have had.
Oh, God, so many.
This has got to be like Zach Taylor's biggest nightmare. Like, of his entire career. Just how many one-score games that they have. They're two games under 500 and have a plus 12-point differential. Mm-hmm. Okay? To put that in perspective, the division-leading Los Angeles Rams are 8-6, and their point differential is negative 28.
Mm-hmm. 40-point swing.
Flip their records, right? And the point differential makes sense for each one of those teams.
Sure.
What they're doing is, like, this is awful. Because I mean, they have
two one-point losses in the season.
The way that you have seen Joe Burrow play this year, it's MVP worthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's MVP worthy. But they have just been atrocious, especially at home. They're only 1-5 at home. They've lost to some really, truly dreadful teams, including at the very beginning of the year to the New England Patriots with Jacoby Brissett.
Good Lord.
I mean, it is this year has been a year of frustrations, but yesterday that game was awful. It was the first game in NFL history that has had 10 total turnovers and 25 accepted penalties.
Good God.
They're both really bad teams right now.
Did we see Will Levis' career end?
No. No.
No?
He's young. He's only in his second year. Like,
getting paid for Mason Rudolph is tough.
Yeah, I know. But we've seen guys hang around and, like, Will Levis, the starting high caliber quarterback. Yeah, sure. Done. But guys hang around in the NFL for a really long time. See Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, he has to have a blackmail file.
But and he's finally out of the league. But guy, there's guys like that across the NFL, and they'll stick around for a really long time. That's why when people are like, Daniel Jones is going to be out of the league. No, he won't. Daniel Jones will be playing in the NFL, and he's going to be playing in the NFL for a handful of more years. And teams are always on the lookout for having a backup quarterback. The guys who don't make it as backups are the ones that, you know, Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel, where you become a bigger distraction than the starting quarterback. And that's why you get out of and find your way out of the NFL. You know, what's the guy, Chad, the old Ole Miss quarterback who played up in the CFL, just broke his leg for the Argonauts. But he was just, he was a party animal. They had the team holiday party, and he ended up drunk in somebody's house.
Oops.
Yeah. Nope. That's how you lose your spot as a backup quarterback in the NFL, is you go and you act a fool and you be a distraction. As long as Will Levis,
Ryan Russillo.
As long as you are a person who's willing to play the backup role, dude, he'll play in the NFL for as long as he wants. But that game was ugly. That game was really bad. We saw that was the first of two. We had fumbles out of the end zone because the Bengals guy, he was running and it looked like he was trying to like extend the ball out. But as he was pumping his arms, he tried to change hands and knocked the ball out of his own hand out of the back of the end zone. If that would have lost the game for the Bengals, Joe Burrow may have actually murdered him.
And this is after somebody broke into his house and while he was playing a game and exposed the girlfriend he was with.
That's right. Who is an employee, according to police. But then we had another fumble out of the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, did you see that in the Colts Broncos game? Which are all of our rookie quarterbacks, Jane Daniels excluded. Mm. They all showed like, hey, by the way, we're still rookies.
Still rookies.
Bo Nix had one of the worst first halves you could ever have. But they ended up rebounding. We had three picks in that game.
Shout out jumping back for a pick six and housing that thing.
Three touchdowns, three interceptions for Bo Nix. The second half was much better. But Jonathan Taylor, he had a walk-in touchdown, and he let go of the ball before the pylon. That, to me, the fact that this keeps on happening is beyond me. I don't know how guys continue to do that. Like, there is no reason why that should happen.
Just take it deep into the end zone, then do it. I don't get it.
I don't either. Shane Steichen after the game.
You know, it was a mistake. Obviously, it hurt us, but, you know, he's one of our leaders. And sometimes that happens in football. But, you know, he's our guy, and that's where it's at.
Such a beatdown.
You don't say.
And that right there, like a fumble like that, they ended up losing 31-13. So you can't say that is what did it.
No.
But
didn't help.
I mean, that goes a long way of the tides of that game churning. And now, because they lost that game, you see the Broncos have a 91% chance to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the Colts are down to 10%. Like, that play, and then let's not forget, Anthony Richardson, he turned into a pumpkin too. And as Bo Nix was having a bad game, Anthony Richardson said, hold my beer, bro. I got you. I'm going to make you look so much better right now. But that Colts game, that was a disaster as well. I mean, Colts, Broncos, Denver found a way to win again, and they're just plugging right along, man. I don't know how they're doing it at the clip they are, but who would have thought that that would be a 10-win team this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had it 100% wrong. I didn't think there was a chance in hell this team was anywhere near that.
They've won four games in a row. Bo Nix is still showing you he is a rookie quarterback. He's going through it. They've got three games left. At 9-5 right now, they have the Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs. Okay? They need one more win. They're going to be a 10-win team. If you win one of those three games, which, you know, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they get rolled by the Buccaneers yesterday. Herbert gets dinged up again. You have that Chiefs game at the very end of the year. What is Kansas City going to be playing for, especially if you have a limited Patrick Mahomes, and they have the one seed locked up. If you have a Chiefs team that I think they got like the 3 games in 10 days stretch here where they play mm-hmm. Saturday, Wednesday, and a Sunday, right? If they have that kind of run, it would have to be 12 days then, 3 games in 12 days. If they Chiefs have the number one seed locked up, they're saying we just need to get Mahomes healthy into the postseason. Dude,
they could just rest and it's an opportunity.
Denver is solidifying themselves as a playoff team. The AFC West might get 3 in.
Which is an insane thought from the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2 of their final 3 games, they could be playing quarterbacks that are dinged up in the Chargers and the Chiefs. God. Go Broncos.
Such a weird place to be. Speaking of weird places to be, the Eagles, despite seemingly sticking their foot in their mouth at every single opportunity, are 12-2 after a win over the Steelers. And Jalen Hurts is feeling sassy. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny Dusty.
Sassy.
You know, we're all totally and patently aware that the Kansas City Chiefs have used human sacrifice to win the game that they won this week.
Not this past weekend.
I don't know what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. Is it blood magic?
No, they're really good.
I understand that, but it seems like every week they're finding a way to have something in their locker room come out. Is something problematic? Is something weird? Is something different? There was an article that came out when we were in D.C. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, that there's some division in the locker room with the Eagles, particularly, and we hinted at this last week with Jalen Hurts, with the Brandon Graham stuff. Like, is there kind of a Russell Wilson thing? Well, there was discussion that came out that Jalen Hurts apparently has flown home on the owner's plane separate from the team multiple times. It's like, oh, okay. Now we're getting to the crux of this. There is a little bit of Russell Wilson here that's causing some division. But somehow, some way, whether it's overwhelming talent or the ability to push stuff to the side, the Eagles keep chugging along and they beat the crap out of the Steelers. I mean, 2-1 time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Russell Wilson threw the ball 22 times, okay? They ran the ball 17.
That's why I do not trust the Steelers.
39 total plays. Jalen Hurts threw the ball 32 times on himself. They ran 42 times. I mean, like, they just, there was nothing
well,
even close.
It all comes down to the second half because the Steelers only had 2 drives. Period.
It's insane.
And it's the most beautiful thing that you can ever have in football is the way that the Eagles ended the game. They went on a 21-play, 88-yard drive Oof. That lasted 10 minutes and 29 seconds.
That's what 26 first downs to 10 first downs
that
looks like.
It is the most beautiful thing any football coach or player can ask for. Is you just broke their will. And also, look, when TJ Watt gets hurt, things aren't going to go well for you, Pittsburgh. He's really good. Lane Johnson did an incredible job against TJ Watt. Like, the Eagles are so talented. It's ridiculous. And they win on talent a lot. But the fact that they limited the Pittsburgh Steelers to only 11 plays on 2 drives in the second mm-hmm. half. I mean, that's how you blow a team out. And that's also why I don't trust Pittsburgh in their offense.
Yes.
Like, as much as Russell Wilson is not washed, and I was saying that, like, he's not going to be dead. He's not dead. Is he past his prime? Absolutely. But he could still win you games, right? In Pittsburgh, he has found a way to do that. But when they go up against more talented teams like this, they will struggle, especially a ball control type team that Philadelphia is. Like,
on that point,
which makes it so crazy that Baltimore just can't do anything against them.
It's very weird.
But it's the division rivalry.
On that ball control point, the Eagles had a 13-play, 74-yard, 6-minute and 33-second drive in the second quarter. It was one of their 3 drives. Both in plays, yards, and time of possession, that one drive from the Eagles was more than the Steelers could get done in there, too.
Dude, they had 3 drives of 6.5 minutes or more in the second half.
And that
was the only drives they had. That's crazy.
It's insane.
It's crazy, Tom.
That is five total possessions in a half.
Yeah. And that's awesome. But also what is awesome is the way that Jalen Hurts went about his business. Like, he and A.J. Brown, they did the Fresh Prince dance again to just kind of shut everybody up and tell them, hey, like, we may not be best friends, but it's not going to affect us, yeah. Right? They get going, and that's, like, the thing with Philly is, like, they're the most Philly team of all time. They're using anger and rage to be successful, mm-hmm. which is probably what the 76ers should do.
Well, they should probably be careful, because if anything else gets angry or rageful, something else might break.
But Jalen Hurts sits down at the press conference yesterday and goes,
so that's what y'all want to see, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is, because he was electric. He was electric. 25-32, 290, two touchdowns. He was insane. Like, Jalen Hurts.
And a rushing touchdown and running for 45 yards.
A.J. Brown said the problem with their passing game is the passing. It wasn't against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Nope.
And they dominated. And that's as impressive as a win as you could get. Tied at the half and then just to run away with it in the second. It was 17-13 at half. And then to run away with it in the second half. Yeah, that's an exclamation point that Philly put on Pittsburgh. And this team is just really damn good, man. And they could be like Super Bowl good, this Philadelphia team.
Which is crazy to think about, considering all the storylines that have come out of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? Those storylines, they could rear their ugly head and probably be what nips them in the butt at some point.
Tangentially related, what did you think of the Dwayne Washington, Darius Slay incident, as it were, where Dwayne Washington blocked Darius Slay and put a steering wheel in his chest for 40 yards that turned into a full-on fight?
I love that. I love everything about it. I mean, if you can get in a guy's chest plate, you control him. And that is exactly what happened. And you know what? It's emasculating. It's demoralizing. And you're probably going to get somebody swing on you if you do it hard enough. It's one of my favorite things. I when those things happen, I love it. I love every bit of it.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's beauty.
I mean, he got blocked into the stands.
Oh, be a dude. Be a dude. That's what you got to do.
Turns out being 6'8", like 290. It's useful for blocking DBs.
Yeah. Everything about having the ability to do that to another, that's what football is. That's what you try to do on every single play. It's just a really hard thing to do.
Particularly at that level.
When it happens, awesome. Awesome.
All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on some NFL news and notes, the playoff picture, and anything else that we missed coming out of
Seahawks. We haven't talked Seahawks, and this is huge.
Yes. Which is probably problematic. But first, here's Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update. We talked about it last week. The NFC playoff picture getting murky at best.
Ooh.
The Green Bay Packers go up to Seattle, and boy, did it look like Green Bay had an axe to grind. They absolutely pummel the Seahawks into the ground. It looked like one of those Bugs Bunny cartoons when he hammers Elmer Fudd into the ground with a giant mallet and just keeps going for the memes.
Yeah, I think the bigger, like, we knew Green Bay is good, and the NFC North is absolutely insane. They got 3 10-win teams already. They're the only division to have 3 10-win teams, and there's 3 divisions in football that don't even have a 10-win team yet.
It is absolutely insane how good that division
is. The Vikings haven't even played this week either.
They could be a 12-win team in a wild card.
Yup. But if they win out, they control their own destiny. Now, with Green Bay, we knew they were good. And look, they wore their whiteout uniforms. It was the highlighter versus the whiteout. Uniform advantage, Green Bay in that one. I thought that was a clean little look.
Twas nice.
Better than going all black at home like the Lions, I thought. But Geno Smith went down in that game, and boy, that could be the nail in the coffin for this Seahawks team.
Yeah, if you thought Geno Smith was a problem, dude. You saw Sam Howell play quarterback, and you went, oh, no, this is not good.
Yeah.
I should be afraid.
And there was... I know Geno was upset and the Seahawks were upset that he went low to try and get him. I didn't think that there was anything nefarious in the injury itself, in the hit itself.
Unfortunate, but not dirty.
And I appreciate what Sam Howell said after the game, where he was like, look, I need to be better. I know I need to be better. I need to get back to it, because that was not the quarterback that we saw in Washington last year, which was competent. He didn't look competent. I think there's two things at play there. One, Green Bay was dialed up, dialed in, and they had a great game plan for Seattle. The other one is Sam Howell looked like a guy who just hasn't played quarterback in a long time. I think he had one pass attempt all season long entering yesterday. And it's a brutal night for the Seahawks, because not only is it a loss, not only do you lose Geno Smith, and we don't know how long that is going to be. Sam Howell plays terribly. And, oh, by the way, you're not even in the division lead anymore, because the Rams are with their 12-6 pillow fight with the 49ers on Thursday night, are now the leaders in the division on a three-game winning streak. And we mentioned them earlier. They're 8-6 winning a division right now.
Minus 28.
Minus 28 point differential. But what they're doing is they're winning ugly games. They're finding a way to do it in a variety of ways, whether it's a shootout that they win with the Buffalo Bills, or it's a game that's ground to a halt in the rain in Santa Clara, not San Francisco. They're finding different ways to do it, and they're winning by on a razor's edge. That, when they play good teams, though, the Rams have gotten blasted.
Yeah.
Eagles absolutely blast them. That win over Buffalo was the biggest thing and biggest surprise, is that we talked about that line heading into the weekend. Like, gosh, this doesn't make sense. Well, Vegas knows matchups. Styles make fights. And here come the Rams, where now their three final games are the Jets, Cardinals, and, oh, by the way, very last game of the year is in L.A., against the Seahawks. The division's probably going to be on the line in that game.
Very likely. Well, I should say very likely, with the exception of, you know, if Geno's knee's cooked. If they're going to be rolling out Sam Howell for the final three games of the season. And at that point in time, you do have to wonder kind of where it's going to go, because you have the Seahawks taking on the Vikings, the Bears, and then the Rams. Vikings, you can chalk that up probably as a loss. Bears, they should win that game. Mm-hmm. Should. Right, sure. Yeah. But if you drop one, if you drop both, oh boy. Oh boy.
I saw this earlier today. They did a little graph, and graphs get my attention.
I do love me a good data visualization.
Yeah. Do you know who the closest comp based on Pro Football Focus grade and EPA per play is from all quarterbacks in the NFL to Caleb Williams?
Who?
Dak Prescott in the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth worst is sixth worst is Caleb Williams. Seventh worst is Dak Prescott. And Pro Football Focus grade and EPA per play. Only guys that are worse are Anthony Richardson, Gardner Minshew, Deshaun Watson, Will Levis, and Cooper Rush.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Guess who's got a better Pro Football Focus grade than those two?
Who?
Daniel Jones.
Boy, I find that hard to believe. Oof. That's tough.
That's pretty ugly, huh? And Bo Nix's closest comp? Jameis Winston.
what was Bo's comment? What was his line? Threw it right to the other team?
Yeah. Drop back, threw it to the other team.
Which we were at a sports bar in D.C. when we were waiting for the plane yesterday with some Browns fans. And
they're living that life.
They were living that life, and they were like, just get rid of Deshaun. Like, we don't care. We just don't even want him around.
Yeah.
And they, boy, when they were like, man, I'd love to go back to 2020 and keep Baker. Boy, I'd love to keep back. They were like, to think about the world we would be in if we had Baker still.
You know what a weird cluster on this little graph was?
What?
Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. All three very different years.
Yeah, but still kind of the same year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's interesting. There are the three outliers: Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
Where's Goff in all of this?
Goff is really high in the EPA.
Is he out on the course?
But not the... and his grade. His grade, like, he's just significantly behind the Pro Football Focus grade of some of the other guys. Daniels is fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
He had a throw this weekend. My God.
Yeah.
My God. The shaking free and a jump throw into the end zone that was inch perfect.
He's been really good this year.
He's been better than I ever possibly could have imagined.
We all expected Jane Daniels and Sam Darnold to be clustered together, right? At near the top of the NFL quarterbacks, bottom.
That's the kicker there, which, you know,
it's crazy.
Shout out old Big Head.
Yeah, he's getting it done, baby.
Yeah, that size 8 dome, man. It's it's getting things done for the Vikings.
Yeah.
So right. It's an interesting spot to be. All right, come up next. We'll put a nice little bow on today's show, maybe share a few more things from the Army-Navy weekend and just the incredible trip that Dusty and I had.
It's time for a Blazers Report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers, brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trail Blazers fall twice in a row to their post in-season tournament games schedule. The two games they didn't know that they were going to play coming into the season, to the San Antonio Spurs and to the Phoenix Suns, to two by the Spurs, to six to the Suns. Both instances a little more scrappy than the Blazers that lost by 40 just more than a week ago. They are getting healthier. The return of Robert Williams III and Donovan Clingan, both on deck. DeAndre Ayton is sick, so the thought process is he will be back at least relatively soon. Everybody else looks like they're good to go. They're going to have a few days off before they play the Denver Nuggets for the first time this season, which is going to kind of a weird time to see them played. And then follow it up with Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. They've currently lost six in a row. Could get real dicey here real quick. This Trailblazers Sport on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria. Best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15 and Broadway at AztecWillies.com.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Shout out Rip City Reddit for that edit.
Yeah, fantastic. That is you.
That's me.
They made a video of you and your...
Loved it.
That was so good.
That was awesome.
That's so good.
Awesome.
Oh,
absolutely,
man.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
No, that was thing I was after a bad loss. I was just like, oh, God, here we go again. Real quick, what an incredible trip to D.C. Absolutely awesome. Army, Navy. Shout out USAA, Jimmy Shapiro, for putting everything together for us. Just.
Yeah. It was a bucket list day, weekend. It was sweet. It was awesome.
I hope you guys enjoyed
really good people.
The interviews that we had on Friday on Radio Row.
Yep.
Whether it was the Lieutenant General Gilland, whether it was Ron Rivera, Zach Leonsis, I mean, the cadets.
Joe Theismann.
Joe was on point, man.
Yeah, he was great.
I thought he was great.
I will say I greatly enjoyed it from back here in the studio all by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I want you to tell USAA, be like, hey, our producer's awesome too. He should come along as well.
And it'd be like, for why?
Yeah. We have all of ours here.
Just because.
I would have loved to have you there too. No, Ross. Just I would have.
It would have been a blast, man. But I mean,
you'd have been life of the party.
It was
that's what we could tell.
Oh, well, that's definitely true.
You'd be life of the party.
Yeah, as long as we went somewhere to karaoke.
But we didn't have any of that. So I think it's the one thing we probably didn't do.
No karaoke. No, there were talks of karaoke though. There were talks of karaoke.
Oh, was there?
Oh yeah.
I didn't catch those.
Sounds like y'all needed me.
See?
Yeah.
You would have found the spot. But I want to throw this out there to everyone.
Also, I am a possible, I am a USAA member because of my father's and my grandfather's service.
Hey, look at that.
You know, I'm too much of a coward to have done it myself, but my father and both of my grandfathers were there.
I will say this on Friday. The Radio Row was at the Women's Memorial History Museum right there. We were hundreds of feet from Arlington National Cemetery. I'm a strong believer, having been in there now, every American should go there once.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Every American should go there once.
It was incredible. It was breathtaking.
It was one of the most, if not the most humbling experience of my life.
Yeah. D.C. is full of history, traditions.
A lot of stuff.
And monuments and memorials, but Arlington National Cemetery was... it was something else. Like you can't explain it either until you actually get there and you see it And I've seen so many things on television and documentaries. It all pales in comparison to actually seeing it with your own eyes. Yeah. I highly recommend.
Yeah. I mean,
highly recommend.
There was a row of semi trucks miles long. And every single one of those trailers was filled with wreaths that they were going to put on every single gravestone in that place. And it was just, it is the most sacred and hallowed ground in this country.
Yep, it really is. It was a weekend full of those kind of moments of just looking and going to an Army-Navy game. If you are a fan of sports, it is absolutely 100% worth the trip. I mean, football is secondary to everything else that happens. Like, I was saying this after the game got over. It's like, dude, it's going to elicit an emotion after that game. Either you are going to be all primed up for USA, right? And your pants are going to get your sports pants. No, your America pants are going to get
literal
tight.
Pants.
Going to get tight, or you will shed a tear.
Like those Rex Kwando pants?
Mm-hmm. Some people were saying, well, maybe both. Maybe both will happen, but it will elicit a reaction when you are at that game and you see those young men on the field after the game singing the alma maters, winner singing second. It's crazy.
And you could be the least patriotic person. You don't believe in that stuff at all.
Yeah.
It will reach down and grab you by the soul.
I am far from, the guy. I mean, don't get me wrong, America.
Yeah.
100%. But I'm not the,
I'm going to pound my chest
at any given moment. No, it is. It's one of those moments that you are very, very thankful, happy, and proud that you are.
You were walking out of there ready to buy a back-to-back World War Champs T-shirt.
I already have one, it makes you just feel. It really makes you feel happy and confident with the future leaders. I can tell you that much.
I think that's the single biggest thing.
Yeah.
That I came out of there with was like, you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And not even comfortable. You feel there is a resting sense of calm.
Yeah.
And that the kids will be all right.
Yeah.
And that was, it was really a transcendent moment. I got to connect back with other veterans for the first time in a while. Oof. And it was good to be in that again.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing for me that I just identified with so much, just being around so many people that understood, and you not being a part of that and being able to experience that and seeing like the what it did to you, like that's what that weekend is all about. And football being last, it's pretty cool.
It was awesome.
Like that's
really cool.
That like, because the football is still great in its own way.
Yeah, it is. It's different. It's a lot different. Game goes by so much faster when they don't throw. You know, that I will tell
that
you.
That clock was ticking, baby.
How is this game done in 2 hours and nine minutes?
Dude, yeah. If they didn't have the ridiculous TV timeouts that every football game has now, that game would have been done
in
less than 2 hours. Way less than 2 hours.
It was crazy.
You would have been out of there in 90 minutes with a 25-minute halftime. They were moving.
Yeah, that's an extended one, isn't it? The 20, because what is it, typically 15?
Yeah, I think it was actually like 28 minutes is the actual length of halftime.
Well,
it was long.
They did some young folks enlisted at halftime. Yeah. Some re-enlisted at halftime.
Ooh, pregame, badass. I will say the Navy, they don't do well at marching. They had a problem with their parachuters coming onto the field. The Army guys,
because they're used to the water.
I know. They dropped on the 50-yard line. Like,
my kid.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. On the 50.
But the Navy guys stayed on their feet.
They actually did.
The Army guys, they went down to a knee.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of boo.
Yeah, but they were coming in hot because they were going to hit the 50.
But the precision. Yeah. Well, the precision.
They were going to hit the 50, but it wasn't going to be graceful.
But come down like in the Avenger pose? Like with one, you know, fist down on the ground and
No, it was awesome.
All right, I was trying to sell
flyovers were great. Oh, it was so cool. It was so cool. All right, that does it for us today. Guess what? We back tomorrow, baby.
Indeed.
We're back tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to their ears. From their mouths to your ears. And theirs, like, two, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Goes back in there. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Bye.
not eating her stuff. She's eating his stuff.